Well, good morning. So good to be back, be a part of what's going on. Today's a great day, just exciting day for our church. You know, we celebrated 10 years as a church early June of this summer, and we weren't able to officially celebrate because of all this COVID stuff going on, and I hate to say COVID nonsense, but kind of how I feel, let me just be honest. But nevertheless, we kept trying to set a date to have our grand opening service for the church, for the building, and kept putting it off, changing the date. Finally, I had set this date, and things started to kind of change in the negative, and I was asked, are we going to change the date? I said, we ain't changing no more date. This is it. We're just going to do it today. It is what it is. So thank you so much for being here. For those of you watching us online, we're thankful you're with us online and are a part of what's happening. Let me tell you, we were singing a song, Raise a Hallelujah, in the presence of my enemies. I got to literally do that the day of my surgery. I asked my doctor, I didn't really want narcotic pain medicine. I'm just real funny about feeling out of control. So, no, I'm not a control freak. So just get that thought out of your head. But nevertheless, I just said, Doc, can I have a non-narcotic pain medicine? So he told my son Dallas, he goes, that's pretty ambitious is the word, right? That's ambitious. I'm not sure. I know what the word ambitious means, but I wasn't sure of the context as it related to my hip surgery. So he gave me a non-narcotic pain medicine. I may as well have not taken anything because as the anesthesia wore off, the pain intensified. And I got out of the bed, and I got in the chair, and I walked around, and I could not find a comfortable spot. Thankfully, I have a God-fearing wife. And she put on some worship music. And I think I was crying, if I'm not mistaken. And in my tears of pain, I worship. It is literally the only thing that got me through that time. And then I finally gave in. I said, get me some pain medicine. So worship and pain medicine did the trick. But I'm good. I'm good today. Yeah. So when you're going through a tough time, just stop and worship. You change your perspective. Anyway. Hold up your Bibles. Say this with me. This is the word of God. I'll choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Today is a big day for our church. As I said outside, it's a culmination of lots of prayer and lots of faith. We called this building our big faith campaign. You know why? Because we literally stepped out in faith. Sometimes people say faith is stupid. That doesn't make sense. And I want you to know, on paper, it didn't make sense. If you would have looked at the paper, the X's and the O's, you'd have said, this is a foolish decision. But the Lord had a different idea. So I say again, look what the Lord has done. Amen. Today's the day we dedicate this building, this facility that the Lord has given us. These kind of things don't happen by accident. They don't happen because I did some good things or some smart things or our finance team or our elders. We didn't do good things. Jesus did a good thing 2,000 years ago. And because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, the gospel's still going forward today and will continue to go forward for the next 2,000 years. Today we embark on a new message series entitled This Is Us. Anybody ever watch the TV show This Is Us? I like that TV show, but this is not that TV show. This Is Us is going to be a sermon series about New Beginnings Church. Now, why do I think it's important right now to begin to talk to you about who is New Beginnings Church? As I've been saying, and you heard Kevin and Carla speak on it a few times the last couple of weeks, and I've said it before that, I believe that not only our church, but I believe that this country is on the verge of spiritual revival. Spiritual revival. Now, if we're going to be ready to receive all those lost people out there, then the church better be ready. And you know, a lot of times people go to church and they go to a church for sometimes for years. And if they ask, hey, tell me what's your church about? And they'll say things like, we have good music. Well, our pastor's preaches a good message and our kids' ministry is good. They teach our kids. The kids have fun. They play. They have a good time. That's not the question. The question is, what's your church about? Identify your church to me. So I began to think about my identity. If someone asked me, who am I? It's easy for me. I am born again. Child of Almighty God, baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? Full of his power, of his spirit. I have the assurance of a place called heaven. You know, that's who I am. You wonder who I am? That's who I am. Then I asked our children, as I was preparing this, I said, kids, in a text group, tell me who is the Swan family? So they began to identify who is the Swan family. And I'm going to give you some of the words. Let me give them to you in the order of importance. The most responses down to the least response. So number one about who is the Swan family is we're loving. We do. We love hard. We love each other and we love each other hard. Like I can just, right now, I could start talking to every one of them and we'll start crying right here. We love each other hard. We love each other deep. Second thing is probably as almost equal to the loving part is we are competitive. Right? Play anything with us and you'll see pretty quick. We don't play for fun. They ain't no like, let's just play to have fun. That's useless. I mean, if we play to win, dude, like we gonna, you know what I mean?
Amen.
Yeah, that's the way we all, my son, I know if you get Michael, my son Michael, finished football season, and Pastor Kevin said, Michael, why don't you come play flag football with us? Well, my son's a linebacker, and he just got finished playing tackle football, and he goes into an indoor arena to play flag football. Michael was checking people into the wall. Flags were flying. They're like, you're out of here. He's like, I don't know how to play any other way. I said, you're not playing flag football anymore. We're finished with that. The third thing about the Swan family is we're very caring people. We care about each other and we care about other people. We care about the underdog. We care about people. We're majorly protective. Like, you can talk about anybody, but if you talk about one of them, around one of them, it won't be nice. And we are loud. Now, my son-in-law was in the first service. My son-in-law, when we are together, my son-in-law sometimes has to check himself out and go outside because the level of loud sometimes is too much. Now, Kendall has just fallen right in. She is loud as everybody. She's part of this. Like, she's all good with it. Now, my wife has learned to adapt to the loud. When she first came into my family at 33 and a half years ago, she was like, she would leave my mom and dad's house and be like, oh, my God, I'm shaking. Like, she said, it is way too intense in there. You know, there are words that best describe who you are and who your family is too. And that's why I want us today to begin to investigate who is New Beginnings with the series This Is Us. You know, I told you, people attend churches sometimes for years and have no clue to that answer, to answer to the question, what is your church all about? So when God called Peggy and I to start New Beginnings now 10 years ago, he gave us some specific things, some specific characteristics that would be this church. And we don't veer from those things for any reason. The first one is our vision. God gave me a vision. And it's the vision that I literally have been living my life by now for 10 years. And will continue to live my life until Jesus takes me home. And we've been living by that vision ever since. I heard a statement years ago and I was reminded of it as I prepared this sermon. He said, you better learn to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. See, if you don't know what you stand for, then anything, any good old thing will do. Well, that sounds good. I'll go over here. Well, that sounds good. I'll go over there. And you'll be all over the place. They said that's the sign of a double-minded man. And they say a double-minded man is unstable in all that he does. He's like a wave of the ocean tossed to and fro. I don't want you to be double-minded. I want you to know who you are, and I want you to know who he is, and I want you to know who we are as a church. We have a vision. The word vision sometimes can be kind of confusing. The word vision doesn't have to be confusing. It's very simple. It's a picture of a preferable future. Hey, this is what God gave us. We're going to reach and teach this community for Jesus one soul at a time. But here's how we're going to do it. Every day, a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit. It didn't start out 10 years ago looking like this. It started out looking like six people sitting in somebody's living room having a Bible study. Right? But we did it again the next week. And the next week. And, you know, sometimes there were weeks it seemed like we were really making strides forward. And there were some weeks we felt like we were walking backwards, but we never stopped. Vision gives you your why. It's why I wake up every day and do what I do. It's why we wake up every day and do what we do. It's what our staff has been doing for 10 years at New Beginnings Church. Our vision statement is this. We put it up on the screen for you. To reach the North Shore community with the life-giving message of Jesus Christ, and to teach those we reach to become true disciples, ultimately reproducing themselves. It's there somewhere, I promise you. There it is. We say it like this, reach and teach. We don't just want them to know, but to grow. Our vision helps us answer some important questions. The first question is where? Where did God call you to do this ministry? Because, you know, just any old place will do. And I knew when God spoke to me, he told me the word Covington, Louisiana. Do you know that as we began to look for facilities to house our church, people would say, oh, there's a place down in Mandeville. It's a great place, and I think the price is pretty good. Sorry, I can't go south of I-12. Well, why not? That's dumb. Well, but you didn't get the word from God. God told me Covington, Louisiana. That's Mandeville. Nothing against Mandeville, but God told me Covington. And I can't do anything except what God told me to do. You understand? To the North Shore community. You say, well, sometimes people say, well, Eddie, that's kind of small-minded. Why just the North Shore community? Aren't churches supposed to reach the world? Oh, we are, but there's a progression even in Scripture. If you go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when Jesus poured out his Spirit, what did he say? He said, wait here, I'm pouring my Spirit on all flesh. And this is what's going to happen. You'll be my witnesses in verse 8. In where? In Jerusalem. First. In Judea. In Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. You know, sometimes we get so worried about going to the ends of the earth, and we don't put our roots down in Jerusalem first, and we topple over. I see churches, young churches, we want to be about missions, and we love missions here too. We support missionaries all over the world. But you know what we had to do first? We had to establish ourselves right here in Covington. We had to get our roots firmly planted in Covington and begin to reach and teach Covington before we could reach and teach across the lake or to Slidell or to Hammond or anywhere else. It had to start right here, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Then it gives us our who. Who are we to reach? Who are we to go after? The people of the North Shore community. The people of West St. Tammany. Oh, listen, we love all people. We love people who live in Slidell and Hammond and on the South Shore. Yes, even the South Shore. Yes, even the South Shore. Even in New Orleans. I love all people. But guess what? But God called us to start right here first. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And then he gives us... It answers the question as to why. What are we supposed to be doing? Here it is, making disciples. I was teaching a Bible study many years ago when it was a group of men, and I had guys in the group from a two-week-old Christian guy to a guy who had been walking with the Lord for 40 years. I was kind of in the middle of the group at the time, age of walking with the Lord, as far as that goes, and I asked what I thought was an easy, easy question. I said, how many books are in the Bible that we study? And the 40-year Christian sitting to my right says to me, like 70, right? I'm like, no, wrong. Because the answer is 66, not 70. And at 40 years walking with the Lord, you should know that. Matter of fact, you should be able to call them out to me. You should know more about the Bible than I do. But he didn't. So when I left the Bible study that night, I'm driving home and the Lord speaks to me and he says, Eddie, what happened in your meeting tonight is an indictment of the church of today. That there are people sitting in church pews all over this world who don't know the basics of who I am. And because they don't know who I am, they don't know who they are. And they don't know the basics of the faith. So when he called me to start New Beginnings, the mandate was not just to reach people for Jesus, but to teach people for Jesus, to grow people up in Jesus, right? To make mature believers. Our vision comes from two very important verses of Scripture. The first one is called the Great Commandment. You all know it. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his eventual departure to go back to heaven. He had resurrected, and he's getting them ready. And he's giving them their marching orders. This is what he said. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Here it is. Therefore, go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. When I read this command, I see Jesus telling his disciples not to just go and get people saved, but to help them grow up in Christ, to make disciples. The word disciple means a follower or a learner. Listen, I don't want people to just know who Jesus is. I want people to grow in Jesus. Listen, knowing who Jesus is only a small piece of the puzzle. When you learn to grow with Jesus, that's when things start to change in your life. That's when those things that once held you down no longer have power over who you are. The second verse of scripture that is equally important is found in Matthew chapter 22. Starting in verse 36, Jesus was questioned, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" The religious people trying to trip him up. And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, why is this verse so instrumental to our existence as a church? Because if you don't learn to love Jesus, not here, but in here, you'll never love his people. Look around. Y'all hard to love. In the natural, right? I mean, let's be real. In the natural, we all hard to love. I'm hard to live with. My wife's like, She's like, amen. But when I look at her and I look at them through the eyes of Jesus, you know what? I can overlook those faults. They got some. I can look at you through the eyes of Jesus. I don't see your faults. I don't see the little hang-ups and the differences that we have. I see you like Jesus sees you. With an unbelievable, incredible love that our words can't even really describe and understand. About 4 or 5 years ago, we used to have a membership class that we started in 2012. And every Sunday after church, we would do membership 1 week, and then we'd do our growth track week after week after week. And then we started changing it. I think about maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I changed our membership class and I began to call it a partnership class. Because I don't want you to become a member of New Beginnings. I want you to be a partner. You see, God calls us into this thing called the body together. Yes, I happen to be the pastor. I happen to be the one God called and gave the vision to. But I can't do this on my own. God calls us to be a part of this thing, and as a part, we need to be partnered together. And when we're partnered together, we do greater things than we do by ourselves. Vision helps us do 4 important things that I want to share with you today. The first thing is this: vision helps us see clearly. In Habakkuk chapter 2, I know some of y'all are like, what's a Habakkuk? That's in the Old Testament, right toward the end. It's in the Minor Prophets section of the Old Testament. It's H-A-B-A-K-U-K. I was like, it's crazy. Habakkuk, that's how you say it. People go, how you say it? Habakkuk? Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 2, it says this. The Lord spoke to Habakkuk, the prophet. He said, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Here, the prophet Habakkuk has been instructed by God to make the vision or the revelation plain, easy to understand, so that anyone who takes hold of it can run with it. God made our vision very easy to understand. I'm a simple guy. I make things as simple as possible. You know why? Because I like things simple. You can call me whatever you want. I just like it easy to understand. So I'm going to make it easy to understand so that anybody who hears it, what's the vision in New Beginnings? Reaching and teaching. That's what we do. We reach people and we teach people for Jesus. That's what we do. Look, even the youngest of us in the room can figure that out. Now, it's easy. But you get to decide, am I going to run with this vision that God gave Pastor Eddie, or am I going to do something else? When God gives a man a vision, that vision's not up for debate, and it's not up for tweaking. We're not going to go, well, you should change this word. You want to change. You can do whatever you want. This is the way God gave it to me. This is the way it's going to stay. It's simple and easy to understand. Now, you get to decide, am I going to play a part as a partner in it or not, right? We get to choose that. When you understand the purpose of Jesus on the earth, it's easy to see and understand that this vision of New Beginnings is in direct alignment and agreement with his purpose. In an encounter Jesus had with a tax collector named Zacchaeus, Jesus was being questioned by religious leaders and that witnessed the encounter. And they asked questions like this. Why is Jesus going to the home of the tax collector? He's a sinner. Doesn't he know where he's going? And Jesus' response to them and to us today is this. In Luke 19, verse 10, he said, for the Son of Man came to, here it is, seek and save the lost. Amen. Do you know that's been Jesus' priority since he stepped foot on the earth 2,000 years ago? To seek and save the lost. It's been his purpose ever since. It was the reason he went to the cross. It's the reason he resurrected. It's the reason he poured out his spirit. It's the reason he's praying for you every day. And as a Christian today or any other day, God's vision is to seek and save the lost. And if it's God's vision to seek and save the lost, then it should be the people of God's vision to seek and save the lost. Vision helps us see clearly. The second thing vision does is it helps us live on purpose. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, Solomon wrote these words, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. What Solomon's writing here in Proverbs 29:18 is that without a vision or without revelation, the people cast off restraint. Where there is nothing to guide you, people tend to just do their own thing. Can you imagine any organization, regardless of the size, not having a vision, not having a direction to walk in? So people show up at your business tomorrow morning and they go, hey, what do you want me to do today? I'll just do whatever you feel like. Do you think you're going to get anything accomplished? Is anything going to move forward? You're going to have one guy over here like, hey, I think I'm going to paint this wall today. But that wall got painted 5 times last week because somebody didn't know what to do. So I'm going to paint it again, but I'm just going to paint it a different color because I don't like that color. And it becomes futile. We become futile in our work doing nothing. Imagine that this is a big giant boat. And right now I hand out paddles to all of you. And I say, hey, it's a beautiful day outside. Paddle to whatever place you want to go. You paddle. You just do your thing. This side of the room might say, I want to go that way. This part of the room might say, I want to go that way. This part of the room, I want to go that way. And this part of the room might say, we want to go that way. Guess what happens? Our big old boat just goes in a big circle. We're going nowhere fast. We got a bunch of people doing a lot of work. We're paddling, we're doing our thing, and we ain't going nowhere. That's what happens where there is no vision. But along with the vision, there's a purpose. And a purpose gives our life meaning. Purpose is what drives me to wake up every day. Purpose is the reminder of the why we're supposed to, why we're here, and it gives us the what we're supposed to be doing. So remember this, vision is the what we do. Purpose is who we are. Every day around church, people have asked me the question, what do you do Monday through Friday? You only work one day a week. I wish that was the case. People have this idea that pastors play golf 5 days a week. First of all, I can't afford to play golf 5 days a week. And then my hip couldn't handle golf 5 days a week, but hopefully we're getting there. I still won't play 5 days a week because that would be dumb and I wouldn't have the time for it. Because we work in everything we do, whether it's preparing sermons or preparing musical sets or preparing preschool or children's activities or Connect Group curriculum, everything we do is filtered through the filter called vision. It gives us purpose. Our purpose here is to be a life-giving beacon of hope, a sanctuary for the hopeless and a haven for the downtrodden. To put it simply, is New Beginnings Church is a place, is your place for a fresh start. Yes. Our purpose, more or less, helps us define how we're going to carry out the vision that God calls us to. Our purpose comes from a conversation that Jesus had when he was questioned of why he was hanging around with tax collectors and sinners. In another thing, other than Zacchaeus' story. And Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Why do you invite the tax collectors and sinners into the house? Why are you going over there? Why are you doing that? Listen to me. New Beginnings Church is not a country club for the spiritually elite. If you are part of the spiritually elite, there's a... Anyway. Our church is a hospital for sick people. And people who want to reach sick people and teach sick people. For us, living on purpose means we realize that everyone has a past. Anybody in here got a past? Everybody real happy with their past? Jesus is no longer judging you by your past. Listen to me. Neither are we. You see, we don't really care where you came from. All we care about is where you're going. What happened in your past was an event, not a life sentence. So quit letting that thing keep you in bondage and walk in the freedom that Jesus paid for. Amen. Living on purpose gives our church the framework on how we're going to accomplish reaching and teaching. And we're going to do it like Jesus did it. With the woman caught in the act of adultery, Jesus said, "Who is it now that stands here to condemn you?" He said, "No one, and neither do I. Now go and sin no more." To Zacchaeus, the tax collector, that day he said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, salvation has come to your house today. I want you to know, Jesus is still saying, salvation has come to your house today." Begin to live your life on purpose as you follow Jesus and live in his purpose, as you follow his vision. The third thing vision does is it helps us stay on track. Proverbs 29:18, again, it says, where there is no revelation or vision, the people cast off restraint. Vision is what keeps this church moving forward. Vision gives us our marching orders. Hey, Pastor Eddie, what do we do today? Same thing we did yesterday and the day before that. Same thing we'll do tomorrow and the day after and the day after. You know when we're going to stop reaching and teaching? When every person in West St. Tammany Parish has been reached and taught for Jesus, we stop. Now, you're probably thinking, we can't be that far away from that. Let me help you. Let me help you. This is not an exaggeration. If every church just in West St. Tammany was filled to capacity five times on Sunday, we wouldn't even be scratching the surface. You hear what I'm saying? And I know they got some big churches out here. But I'm telling you, in every church, filled to capacity, not an open seat. Five times every Sunday morning, we wouldn't be scratching the surface. We got a lot of reaching. We got a lot of teaching we still have to do. And Jesus is looking for soldiers in his army who will reach and teach along with us. You know, the devil's MO is to throw all sorts of even good things in your path to get you off track. You know, along the way, along the last 10 years, we've had opportunities. Hey, we want you to partner with this missionary, or we want you to partner with this ministry, or whatever. And I began to look and see what they're all about. And I've had to tell some people no. Well, he's not a very nice pastor because he told us no. No offense. God bless you for what you're doing, but what you're doing and what we're doing, just not the same thing. So I can't partner with somebody that doesn't share the same vision and values that we do. Vision helps us stay on track. And last but not least, vision creates alignment. Matthew chapter 18, I'm going to read several verses of scripture and I'm going to talk about them. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, Jesus speaking. He said, again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, 'tis two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If either of them falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the one who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30 says, how could one man chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight? You see, we see there's power in agreement when we pray. Choosing to walk together in unity brings us in alignment. In Ecclesiastes, we learn that two are better than one. They have a good return for their work. If one of them struggles or falls, his friend can help him up. They can keep each other warm. We got to be really good friends for that. And they can defend one another. And in Deuteronomy shows us that though when Peggy and I started the church, we were pretty powerful in and of ourselves. But you know what happened? We began to partner with other people. We became infinitely more powerful. We didn't just add people by adding another couple or another person. We started multiplying because these one right here put 1,000 to flight, but two put 10,000. And I'm not even good at math, but I think four is like, what, 40,000 or something. I mean, you see, it's going to go up exponentially as we join together. Is that right, math? Probably not. Okay. Yeah, it's just, you get the idea. Like, it's a lot. I want you to understand something, though. Just because we agree about walking in this vision together doesn't mean we necessarily agree about everything in life. I made this point in the first service. My wife and I love each other dearly, but we do not agree about everything. Right? Close? Okay. We don't agree about a lot of things. But thank God she loves me. I'm giving you an example. I'm going to throw out a few things. Don't answer out loud. Just keep them to yourself. Baseball or football, right? PC or Mac? Starbucks or PJs? See, I just divided the room. Now, if you answered all the wrong answers, I'm sorry. You're weird. You see, I cause a divide in the house, but just because there's a divide in the house over what kind of coffee you like or whether you like baseball or football or a PC or a Mac, if you like PC, something's wrong with you. But anyway, that's another sermon. But yes, I think that we can have you delivered from that. But we can still choose to walk in God's vision together. When two people put aside their differences and walk in God's plan, you know what happens? Powerful things happen. Vision creates alignment. Vision helps us see clearly, live on purpose, stay on track, and creates alignment. But I want you to know vision only works when the people of God join the vision together. That's called partnership. That's why we don't have membership. I'm a member. No. I'm a partner. And here at New Beginnings, we hold our Get Started class now. And in that Get Started class, we make this promise to you that we're going to help you know Christ and your family to know Christ, and we're going to help you grow in Christ. Now, your part is the part we ask you in a spirit of partnership to use your gifts, talents, and abilities to serve God through the church. We ask you to use your finances to help advance the kingdom of God in West St. Tammany and beyond as God directs you in his word. And to become an active member and participant or active participant in our church services. And here's a new part, either in person or online. So whether you're watching us here online or in person, you can be an active participant and an active partner in New Beginnings Church. Now, if that's you, the idea of being a partner sounds good. You say, I like the idea of reaching and teaching. I want you to just stand up right where you are. In a display of unity and alignment, please just raise your hand. Say, hey, I'm in. I'm in. I'm part of this partnership. Now, coming up in the next few weeks on September the 13th, we're going to hold our next Get Started class. There's a sign-up sheet out there in the foyer. If you have not ever attended, I'm asking you to go out and sign up today. I'm going to take care of your kids that day. We'll feed you lunch that day. I'm going to tell you the story of New Beginnings Church, how we got started, and how you can be a part of it. Now, Heavenly Father, we stand here in the power of agreement, the power of alignment, the power of two putting 10,000 to flight, and God, all over this place, hands raised. I'm praying a blessing over the people of God today as they join together to do the work of God on the earth, to do the work of God in West St. Tammany Parish. We love you. We give you all our praise and glory today for who you are and what you've done. And we say again, look what the Lord has done in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.